That's it.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center after a 6-3 loss to the Vancouver Canucks. Feel free to call or text at 312-981-7200. Full postgame show tonight. And for more on tonight's game, let's bring in Troy Murray for a game recap. Troy, I have so many notes that I've written down, but I have no idea where to start. Is it the slow start? Is it the questionable officiating? Is it the offside? I'm just going to leave it up to you. I feel like most fans are driving home from the game tonight are still stewing at the offside challenge and wondering whether that was the correct call or not. And more so, what the heck the explanation is, because we still don't, it still feels unclear to us.
Well, you know, okay, so for, you know, we talked about this during the first intermission when I did get the email from the league, and here's what the league said. This is their explanation. It was determined that Vancouver's Kiefer Sullivan legally tagged up at the blue line before he played the puck in the offensive zone prior to Danton Heinen's goal. Now, if you go home and you look at it, you see it on highlights, you see it on your computer, your phone, whatever it is, I still don't see where the tag up is, and I just have no understanding of this rule the way that I saw it. Doesn't make sense. You challenged it, you lost the challenge, and now all of a sudden, you know, Vancouver's back on the power play. But let's go to the start of the game. The three keys that I said was the start. Didn't like the start the other night against Buffalo. Luke Richardson was talking about that. Needed to get off to a good start. 21 seconds into the game, you lose the opening faceoff, and it's in the back of your net. So that's a bad start. Not too far removed from that, Vancouver scores on a power play. You got a little bit sloppy. Dickinson with a tripping call in the neutral zone. That can't happen. He got caught flat-footed. So now you're down 2-0. The penalty kill just didn't get it done. Second key was puck management. I thought that the Blackhawks defense, especially the defense, really struggled to execute plays coming out of their own end of the ice. And that gave Vancouver all kinds of momentum. Keep plays alive in the offensive zone. And for the Blackhawks, started to scramble around. And the third key was keeping an eye on Quinn Hughes. He was 2 assists in this game when the game was on the line, and he was +3 in this one. He ended up having 5 shots on goal, 4 that were blocked. But he was instrumental at the beginning of the game. He was kind of controlled in the game in the first period especially. Found shooting lanes, got pucks towards the front of the net. I think Vancouver did a much better job of creating those opportunities around the front of the net. I didn't think the Blackhawks defended well in front of Peter Mrazek. I think it was a very frustrating night for Mrazek. These goals are all redirects. There wasn't really a shot, was there, that beat him in this game?
I have to go back through all 6 of them.
I don't believe so. I mean, everything was like a rebound. Everything was a tip. And so the Blackhawks got to clean that up, that area up a lot better to help out your goaltenders. I thought that Lankinen saw a lot more pucks cleanly than Mrazek did in this game, so their defense did a much better job. And I think that, okay, give them credit, but also tell the Blackhawks forwards that they got to be more committed to get to the front of the net. If that shooting lane is there, Vancouver scored 2 or 3 goals by just getting pucks through. Blackhawks, you know, need to kind of use that to their advantage as well, get pucks to the front of the net with guys just standing around there. And I talked about it during the broadcast. It seemed like even though the Blackhawks had quite a few shots, 34 shots, second most they've had this season other than the other night in Buffalo, but it was a one-and-done type thing. You didn't have those second and third opportunities, those scrambles around the front of the net, and I thought that Lankinen did, you know, an excellent job of smothering plays and deflecting him away from the front of the net, but that's because he was seeing them. So a lot of things needed to be better in this game tonight. Give Vancouver full marks. They took advantage of the calls, the officiating. The fourth goal was too many men on the ice, not 6. They had 7 guys on the ice. You tweeted it out. I saw it. I mean, it's pretty clear that there were 7 guys on the ice, and 6 were completely involved in the play. So it's not like you're in the, caught in a line change. Right. You've got six guys playing, and one guy got off the ice before anybody noticed. And maybe that's what confused the officials, the linesmen in this case, where a player got off the ice before, you know, anything happened. And maybe so, okay, well, now they're fine. But you still had six guys on the ice. Peter Mrazek was livid, so there was frustration that happened in the game. I think the coaching staff is still going to try and figure out how this call on the offside was made. But putting all that aside, they were not the better team in this game. So they need to do a lot more digging deep as far as what they need to do to be a successful team, how they need to play, because they didn't play a structured game here tonight. And I think that that's frustrating for the coaching staff, because that's what they're harping on, the type of game that they have to play to be successful. This was kind of a wide-open affair where Vancouver was allowed to wheel through the neutral zone. They moved the puck out of their own end a lot better than the Blackhawks did. And the score resulted in the way that the game was played.
We had a caller on the post-game show, the last game, that was disappointed with the start against Buffalo. And I kind of, you know, said, oh, I don't know if that was the game where it was a really poor start, because for the most part, the Blackhawks had been fine outside of the Utah. It feels like this start was actually far more disappointing than the Buffalo game, because of how the Blackhawks fell behind 2-0 to Buffalo and how important it was to get off to a good start. And Vancouver scored 21 seconds into the game. And poor Peter Mrazek, I mean, you mentioned six of the goals probably wasn't on a clean shot. And that guy was scrambling all over the crease within the first 5 minutes. Like, he was tested immediately out of gate. Not just that the goal 21 seconds in. Like, even after that, he was real tested.
Yeah, I mean Vancouver came out and you know, teams know that the United Center is a loud building and they want to take the fans out of the equation. Well, they did that. And the one thing that, you know, I hate to talk about it all the time, but Connor Bedard is really struggling in the faceoff circle. He was at 15% in this game. He lost 11 of his 13 draws. He's lost, and he starts a lot of the games. But the Blackhawks don't start with possession of the puck in a lot of these games. Connor Bedard lost the puck. That gave Vancouver the opportunity to get the line, to get it in, and then get in on the forecheck right off the bat. You're all pumped up. You're ready to go. Okay, one team's going to win the draw. One team's going to get it in, and they're going to go on the forecheck. Well, now you're on your heels. You got to defend. And Vancouver took advantage of that face-off win. 21 seconds later, as you mentioned, it's in the back of the net. Now you're reeling. The crowd hasn't even settled into the game. They're still all pumped up and excited after the anthem, and all of a sudden it's 1-0. Now you get some bad calls. I wouldn't say bad calls, but you know, Jason Dickinson, who I love, he just got caught flat-footed in the neutral zone. Gave Vancouver an early power play. Well, they capitalized on that one quickly. They won the faceoff. Bang, it's in the back of the net. I think three of their goals were direct results of faceoff wins in the offensive zone, never mind the one at center ice to start the game. So even though the Hawks ended up at 60% in this game, you got to control the play at the right times and win the big faceoffs. And those big faceoffs a lot of times are in your own end of the ice. And Vancouver won those draws. They're a good face-off team in the top 10 in the NHL so far this season. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that you can pinpoint to what happened in this game. But bottom line is they didn't execute their game plan anywhere near where Luke Richardson wants it to be.
Yeah, and it's easy to make a big deal out of the offside and the too many men miss call. But the 2-0 lead for Vancouver, like, that happened after. The offside happened after the Blackhawks already fell behind 2-0. So it's, you know, again, did it potentially halt some momentum of the Blackhawks build? Sure. But it was the first 8 minutes of the game, the Blackhawks falling behind 2-0, that kind of set the tone where the Blackhawks were, boom, 1-0, first shift of the game, and it's already in the back of their net.
Yeah, and everything kind of starts to compound a little bit when you are down 2-0. You think that you're going to get an opportunity. You've crept back into 2-1, so you're back in the game. You think that you're going to get a goal negated because everybody thinks it's going to be an offside call. Didn't get the call. You heard the explanation. Still don't understand it. But I think that it just started to... it just started to spiral out of control in the first period. Frustrations, Peter Mrazek chasing after the referee. He saw too many men on the ice. The officials missed it. I mean, that is a missed call. And that's something that the officials, and it's a hard job for the referees, sure, and stuff. And I have a lot of respect for them. And, but it's not easy. But you want to get, you know, if you're on the ice, you want the calls to be the right calls. And there's nothing you can do. They missed the too many men on the ice, but they ended up scoring on that shift as they were coming up the ice. Should have been too many men on the ice. That should have been a Blackhawks power play. Didn't happen. All of a sudden, you know, you're down 4-2 again, or 4-2 at that point. So, you know, things just kind of didn't work out their way, but they're the, you got to blame themselves. You got to look in the mirror. You know, the start was critical in this game, something that Luke talked about, didn't like the last game. And I think that at times in this game, you looked at some of the plays that the Blackhawks made, and you kind of had to scratch your head about, you know, that wasn't the right option, and you tried to force something through that wasn't really there. I think Vancouver did a much better job of having their lanes filled to where they need to do to defend and forcing the Blackhawks to try and pass through sticks, and they just didn't execute.
Not to overblow the offside review, but I think the frustration, at least in the building, when the officials had made the decision, they just said the call on the ice is good goal. So everyone in the building is like, how is this a good goal? What were they reviewing? Obviously, they were reviewing the offside, but I wish we would have gotten an explanation in real time. And the only thing I can think of, like, I'm looking at the screenshot of the offside right now, and it's an overhead view that's kind of near the scoreboard. So you can look at the puck and you see white, but if it, like, you know, if it's over the top, did they have a different angle? Because they didn't show it on the broadcast. But even then, it makes no sense to me, to you, on where the tag
to anybody. I mean, I talked to you. I mean, I'm sure you went up during the intermission, and everybody's like, whatever. The guy tagged up. Well, I don't know where he tagged up. I didn't see the tag up. All I saw is his skates cleanly, like, by far, like a foot and a half inside the zone. This isn't something where you're looking at the skate and you're going, okay, this is really close. Is it touching the line? Is it above the line? How is it? This is, to me, a clear-cut offside, and it didn't get called that way. And whether Luke decides to address it, I know that it's going to be brought up in his post-game press conference. You know, wasn't the difference in the game. I don't know where it was, but it certainly had a factor in what was going on in the first period, which was disappointing and frustrating after the fact that you're already down 2-0 and off to a bad start.
You mentioned the Bedard, the faceoffs. What's the solution there? I know they work on it in practice. They did it yesterday with Yannick Perreault.
Yannick Perreault came in, and we were there. You watched it. And
yeah. Is the solution more, obviously, Connor's going to work on it in practice, or is the solution, hey, we just got to put Foligno out there for more of the draw? Because Foligno won 8 of 11, and they usually use Foligno on the left side of the faceoff circle. So do they just, is there a scenario where you're just like, we have to have Nick just take all the faceoffs, and then, or do you just let Connor try to work through it?
You got to let him work through this, because if he's going to be a dominant center in the NHL, he's going to have to start winning his fair share of faceoffs. And he just hasn't been. He wasn't good last year. He needs to, as an old centerman, I kind of look at it. Yannick Perreault was one of the best, so not going to say anything how he works at things. But he's got to be stronger in there. He's got to be more committed. It's just not a way to start the play. And I've said this for a long time, for a guy like Connor Bedard, and I talked about it with Patrick Kane, that if you lose the draw and you've got Bedard or you've got Patrick Kane on the ice, what happens in the first 20 seconds of that shift? Connor Bedard is chasing the puck down. The team is chasing the puck down to try and get a touch for Connor Bedard. If you win the faceoff, maybe it goes, you know, one pass, two passes, but you're controlling the play, and Bedard more than likely is going to get a quick touch into the scheme of things. You don't want Connor Bedard chasing the puck around. You want Connor Bedard to have the puck, and he is going to have to figure it out whichever way it is. You know, sometimes you'll have good games, sometimes you'll have bad games, but overall he's got to figure it out. And he's always a focus. You're not going to get an easy matchup on the road, that's for sure. And more often than not, teams will look at Bedard, and he takes most of the draws. Doesn't take very many in the defensive zone. So offensively, if he can start winning faceoffs in the offensive zone, that gives the Blackhawks instant possession in the area that you want to have that possession. So there's a lot of factors that go into the faceoff, and he's got to get better. Dickinson was excellent in the faceoff. He was the only guy that was hovering around the 50% mark last year as a regular centerman. He was good. Foligno was good. And the Blackhawks were at 60% with Bedard losing 11 of his 13. So, you know, that's got to change somehow. But he's just got to fight through it. He's got to learn the league. You see a lot of guys who are young when they come into the NHL don't understand how to take the faceoffs, whether it's their officials, the linesmen, left-handed, who's turning their hand over. There's all kinds of things that you can look at to win faceoffs, and he's just got to figure it out.
Yeah.
And they'll get there. They'll go over tapes. I know he does, and Yannick is excellent as far as, you know, what he brings to the table with the faceoff expertise, and they'll continue to work on it. But he's got it. It's got to be, in some ways, you know, maybe a bigger focus in how he prepares for games, just in his mind to you know, I want to score goals, I want to do this, I want to do in the power play. Well, power play is no good if you're chasing it down the ice.
Right. And Luke was saying yesterday after practice, if you're having a tough night at the dot, just cheat a little, because the worst case scenario is you're going to get thrown out.
Yeah.
It's better than the alternative of just losing the draw outright.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, and for a younger player, in a lot of ways, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. If you're a veteran player, you might be able to cheat a little bit more. And talk about, you know, faceoffs. If you're not cheating, you're not winning. And that's just kind of the way it is. You got to figure it out. What you can get away with on one side, what you can get away with on the other side, which linesmen don't give you any edge, which linesmen will give you a little bit of gray area.
All right, good stuff, Troy. Conclusion is we still don't know why the offside was overturned, but hopefully we'll get an explanation, or Luke can at least shed some light on us. So,
well, I mean, we're going to listen to Luke, and that question is going to be brought up, and the too many men on the ice. So it'll be interesting to see how he talks about that and how it affected the game, because you're like you said, you're already down 2-0 in the game, and you were slow to start, slow out of the gate. Give Vancouver credit. Give Utah credit in that first game of the season. They were excellent in the first period, but you can't get caught off guard. You just have to be better and more committed to at least the first 5 minutes. And back in the old Chicago Stadium here at the United Center, and it's always should be that way, that you should control the tempo, the pace, the excitement in the first 5 or 10 minutes and have the other team just survive that. And so if we can get through the first 5 minutes on the road, if we can get through to the first 10 minutes on the road, okay, now we can settle into the game. It hasn't been happening in the Hawks game. They've been off to slow starts, and that's got to change.
For sure. All right, Troy. We'll talk Friday night against Nashville.
Not till then.
You get a break from me for 2 days. Unless you go to practice tomorrow and wet Thursday, then you're going to have to see me there, unfortunately. All right, let's take a break.
Okay.
We're waiting on some sound to roll in from the Blackhawks locker room. Blackhawks postgame show rolls on after this. You're listening to 720 WGN.
Athanasiou against Oman, who wins the faceoff. Back to the left point. It goes. A shot. They score. It's Q Suter this time. Clean faceoff win back to Brännström from the left point. He fed it down to the front of the net. Q Suter was right there to slam it past Mrazek. Now it's 6-2 Vancouver.
Back on the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Romeliotis here at the United Center, breaking down a 6-3 loss to the Vancouver Canucks. That was Pew Suter, former Blackhawk, scoring the sixth goal of the night for Vancouver. Man, really weird game. Six-goal first period. There were zero goals in the second period. A weird review that we thought was going to go the Blackhawks' way, and it didn't. And then a too many men on the ice penalty by two players. There was seven guys on the ice for Vancouver that went uncalled. The Blackhawks had, what did they finish with? I think it was like five power plays, and Nashville had three. So there was just a lot going on. You know, let's get to the special teams, because I know that was an area. The Blackhawks only had one opportunity, one power play against Buffalo, and they didn't convert. They did score on the power play tonight. Tyler Bertuzzi, man, he had several chances on this on this night. I think he had four shots on goal, and I want to say he had five shots on goal. I'm almost positive at least four of them came on the power play, if not all five, and he finally did break through late in the game, so that's a plus to see. On the other side of special teams, the penalty kill went 2 for 3. That was a rare off night for the penalty kill. They went into the night 14 for 16 at an 87.5% clip, which was 6th in the NHL. So only gave up 2 power play goals in the first 6 games. They gave up 2 tonight against Vancouver. The interesting thing, forgot to actually mention this on the power play, is the third period, the Hawks had a couple opportunities. They had 3 opportunities. Alex Vlasic looked like he was quarterback in the first unit. So there was a little bit of a change there. Seth Jones was quarterbacking the first power play unit in the first 2 periods. Vlasic takes over. Where Seth did jump on the ice to quarterback the top unit was when the Blackhawks went to a 5-on-3 power play. And that's because the Hawks had practiced 5-on-3 specifically. So it looked like they wanted to get Seth out there for that because that's the exact 5-man unit the Blackhawks practice with. But we'll see if the Blackhawks make that change moving forward with Vlasic quarterbacking the top, or if it was kind of a game situation where Luke just didn't feel like Seth was quarterbacking the way he has been to this point, maybe just looking for a change. And then Lucas Reichel, I think it was on the first power play, he wasn't on the second unit, and I want to say he logged a shift the one before, so that might have been a reason why. It looked like Athanasiou was in his spot, and then after that, Reichel was on the second unit, and noteworthy, Lucas Reichel ended up getting moved to the second line center role in the third period. We made a deal out of it in the pregame show of Philip Kurashev being healthy scratched. I would have liked to see Lucas Reichel slide into that spot at the start of the game, but it was Athanasiou that started there, and Reichel ended up finishing. So we'll see again. Blackhawks are going to practice tomorrow and Thursday, so we'll see what kind of lineup changes they make and if Philip Kurashev even draws back into the lineup. All right, let's take another break here on the Blackhawks postgame show. Next, we'll hear from Nick Foligno. He just spoke in the Blackhawks locker room, and hopefully we'll hear from Luke Richardson as well, coming up right here on 720 WGN.
It's taken there by Carson Soucy, Canucks defenseman. Now here's Pettersson, put it down beside the net. Hoglander pokes it on goal, and a sprawling save made by Peter Mrazek. Right now, he just kept the Hawks from going down 2 goals with a fantastic save.
That was tonight's Save of the Game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. Peter Mrazek made 24 saves in this game, 24 of 30 shots. And Kevin Lincoln in 31 saves on 34 shots, former Blackhawks goaltender. He was excellent tonight. And I think that he improves to 3-0-0 against his former Blackhawks team. And so he had a 9.18 save percentage tonight. I thought he was really good. And Mrazek, by no means did he play poor. Again, I think if we go back and look at all 6 goals, I'm not sure if there's anything Mrazek could have done differently. And I think of the first 5 minutes, outside of that 21-second goal by Vancouver, Mrazek was tested. Like, he was scrambling in the crease already because the Blackhawks were, didn't really come to play, and they were a little bit leaky defensively. I made one more note here about the Connor Bedard line, Foligno, Bedard, Teravainen. Raw numbers, you're looking at them, and Bedard was -3, Teravainen was -3, Foligno was -2, and I don't want to put too much stock into the plus-minus, but, you know, Connor Bedard's line, like, that was the only line that really drove offense, and so I think it was kind of a high-risk, high-reward line today. They had 19 shot attempts, gave up 14 at even strength, so you know, they generated a lot of chance, but they also gave up a lot of chances. But I think that was really the only line that was going. All right, let's go to Nick Foligno, who just spoke to the media, and see what he had to say on this game.
I hate to ask about frustration again, but, is it another case of a slow start and can't get back again?
Yeah, especially our line, I pride ourselves on starting on time, and we didn't get the job done in the first shift. That's disappointing on my end, and just as a team, because I think it sets the tone for a lot of the game, and I just didn't think we had any emotion after that. I think they got to their game faster because of that goal, and so that's disappointing, because it's an area that we need to fix, because it seems like our starts, any game we've started slow, we've had trouble in, and we can't seem to come back from it. So it's a bit of mentality, I think, too, of of understanding, okay, if it does happen, you got to have the mental fortitude to get back into it and do the things necessary. And, you know, we battle back, and, you know, there's some fluky ones that go in, but that's what happens when you're mentally into it more than the other team probably. And they just wanted it and battled it more than we were able to. And it's disappointing because I also think there was moments of good parts of our game that didn't go in, give their goalie credit, but that's why you don't want to start not on time. And I think it's a good lesson for us. And it's early in the season, but we have to understand, you know, we can be a really good team when we play a certain style and have that mindset and that emotion in the game. And tonight wasn't it.
When you addressed that, is it different this year with a veteran team than it might have been last year with a younger team?
Yeah, I think it's just understanding that we just cannot fall into old habits and you know, allow, you know, especially the newer guys, they're still trying to find their way and not letting that creep into our game because, you know, they're still trying to find their game. So I think that's the big thing, that, you know, just understanding how good we can be when we play together and play a simple game and a really competitive and hard game. And then it seems like everyone just really jumps in and buys in and is able to play that style. And, you know, we haven't gotten to it as much as we'd like. And we had it going on the road, and especially when we got back home. But it seems like it's starting to fade away in certain moments, and we can't have those lulls in the game.
Do you think guys were fully engaged?
At certain points, yeah. I think it took us a while to get into it, though. Right, I think we took play to them in the second period for a lot of that, and should have probably scored on a power play. But you can't, you know, when you're playing behind against a good team that plays heavy, it's hard to come back on them. Right? They just they stayed with it. They got some strong sticks around the net, and they make you pay. So it's you know, it's a lesson for us of how hard we need to play. We're still trying to prove who we are and get the respect we need to get around the league, and that's not the way to go about it.
When you talked to the referee, did you get an acknowledgement on the too many men?
Yeah, they screwed up. They know that. I mean, I just don't understand why they all were seeing it and they didn't want to call it at the time. That was the only thing, and I just didn't like his response at the time. But, you know, he owned it after, and, you know, it's not much you can do. It's breaks in games, but that's not why we lost the game. It's disappointing because it definitely changes the game, but, you know, the score was 6-3. So it's something that we need to make sure we rectify.
The defensive zone coverage seemed like kind of an adventure all game. What was the struggle to get things under control there?
I just don't think we got on the same page in the D zone for some reason. We were just slow and getting the pucks and also moving pucks. It seemed like, you know, every time we did break out well, we had an opportunity on the other end. But as soon as we held on to it long, they're a good forechecking team. They get good sticks. But we just held on to it a second too long and didn't quite have the sharpness that we needed to have. And it cost us tonight.
Do you have to address the team about this yourself?
We talk and always. I mean, just constantly. We're trying to learn and grow and get better. So, yeah, it's an area that we're going to continue to talk on. And, yeah, it's part of growing as a team here and trying to get to where we're trying to get to. And these things suck. It doesn't feel good. But it's game seven, and it's good to iron these things out now.
That was Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno. Obviously, he didn't blame the missed calls as the reason the Blackhawks lost tonight, and he even acknowledged that it took a while for the Blackhawks to get into it, so I think that was the larger problem. But I think you can sense the frustration on some of those missed calls by the officiating that kind of prevented the Blackhawks from gaining any sort of momentum or trying to get back into the game. All right, we got one more break to get to, then we'll hear from Luke Richardson on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Back on the Blackhawks postgame show, Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson just spoke to the media. Let's listen in after he addressed the offside review that did not go Chicago's way.
The start was unfortunate. Like the first, you know, when you get scored on the first shift, you kind of get on your heels. And obviously they must have sensed that. I thought they had a really good job of moving in our O zone, and it created a lot of confusion for us. But, you know, I thought we settled in again and battled and got, you know, ourselves on the board and battled again the second period. But that's the same old story. Like, we can't fall behind, especially at home. We want to be the initiators and in that department. So, you know, for whatever reason, you can't get scored on in the first shift.
It seemed like you generated a decent amount, but just the defensive zone was an adventure all night. What was so hard to get things under control there?
Just, you know, they played with really good pace, and I just thought, like, the edginess, like the battles, whether it's stick battles or body position battles, they were more determined than we were tonight. And that, you know, in the D zone, that just hurts you so much if you don't win, you know, your share or more than half. And I, we weren't even close to that. So that really leads to them being able to skate and move in the O zone, our D zone, and it creates a lot of difficulty for us off of that.
You missed too many men, it was obvious, but are you satisfied with the answer you got on the offside review?
You know, it's still a little confusing. You know, I haven't even looked at it again after the game. We looked at it, and, you know, from our view, we think it's offside, but that's just a agree to disagree. And, you know, I know it happens very fast, and sometimes even the technology doesn't pick it up properly with an angle, so we just got to go on their judgment, and unfortunately, we can't get upset and be yelling and off our game. And I think it took us a little bit to get off a few of those, you know, things tonight and settle back down. But we did. But we got to be professional and make sure we're ready to go, no matter what happens. We can't. We can only control our own actions on the ice.
Well, it's good to know that Luke Richardson is confused still, because I'm sure we all are after looking at the video on that offside review. But again, he was clear that that wasn't the reason the Blackhawks lost. He had mentioned wanting to be the initiators moving forward, and it was kind of the same old story of the slow start from the Buffalo game. All right, let's get to our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Nashville Predators are next up on the schedule for the Blackhawks, and they picked up their first win of the season, finally, after going 0-5-0 to start the season. They only had 10 goals in their first five games, so they were really struggling to get on the score sheet. They beat the Boston Bruins 4-0 tonight at home, so that's a big confidence-boosting win for the Predators. So when they come into town, Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault, all these the new-look Predators are going to be coming in trying to build on that momentum from this game, and the Blackhawks are going to be looking to kind of get rid of the bad taste in their mouth from the last couple games. So we'll see which storyline prevails on Friday night. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Huge thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight, our on-site reporter Jack Heinrich, our production crew of Patrick Hennessy and Tony DeNardis at the station. They were led by our captains, the engineers, Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and Krista Flores back at the station. And of course, the great John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from the United Center. I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 6-3 loss to the Vancouver Canucks for the Blackhawks. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you on Friday night.